السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وقام الصلاة وآت الزكاة ولم يخش إلا الله فعسى أولئك أن يكونوا من المهتدين.
After reciting the Tashahud, Ta'uz, Tasmiyah, and Surah Fatiha, Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ayyadullah ibn Nasir al-Aziz, said, by the grace of Allah, Jamaat Ahmadiyya in Regina have had the opportunity to build a mosque. By the grace of Allah, it is a beautiful mosque. The population of the Jamaat here, including the Jamaat from the surrounding areas, is approximately 160 people. The capacity for the mosque hall is stated as 400 worshippers. And if the need arises, then a further 100 people can offer the prayers in the common areas. All in all, at present, in respect to the size of the Jamaat, the mosque is approximately 3 times as big. I have been informed that the expenses have also been paid for by the local Jamaat members, or the members have promised to pay it. In fact, 2 members of the Jamaat have pledged to pay for approximately 1/3 of the cost in terms of the total expenditure. One of them is the widow of the martyr, Dr. Shamsul Haq.
Is
لیے کہ جب مسجد کی تعمیر کا کام شروع کرنے کا مرحلہ آیا.
When I say in terms of total expenditure, what I mean by that is when it came to the construction of the mosque and they began liaising with the contractors, the minimum tender was 2.8 million Canadian dollars. And including other costs, it was coming to a total of 3.5 million Canadian dollars. However, the total cost for building the mosque came to 1.6 million dollars. To a worldly person, the fact that the entire mosque was completed at half the estimated value of the cheapest contractor is complete bewilderment. Indeed, a worldly person will have no idea about this because he does not know what true sacrifice is, and he is unaware of the level of sacrifices offered by the members of the Promised Messiah's community. Sacrificing one's life, wealth, and time are traits that can be found in the community of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam. This characteristic can be found in the members of the community everywhere, whether they are Ahmadis residing in Pakistan, who sacrifice their lives as well as their wealth, or whether they are Ahmadis living in Africa. Even if they do not have a lot of wealth, they sacrifice their time and also everything they own in order to establish a mosque, as well as presenting themselves for community work. Whether they are Ahmadis living in Indonesia or Europe, or whether they are Ahmadis living in Canada, or whether they are Ahmadis residing in any part of the world for that matter, God Almighty grants them the opportunity to make sacrifices. The reason for this is that they have made attaining the pleasure of God the purpose of their lives. I have been informed that the reason why half of Jamaat's money was saved in the construction of the mosque was that three brothers from Saskatoon, who work in the construction business, volunteered to help, and as a result, this amount was saved. Similarly, many other volunteers helped in this process. These three brothers who are contractors were aided by a fourth contractor who was perhaps sent here by God Almighty to aid the project after moving from Toronto where his employment had ended. Nevertheless, they worked together to complete the work, as did all of the volunteers, who were local residents of Regina, as well as people from Saskatoon, Calgary, Edmonton, and even people from Toronto came. Among them were Khuddam and Ansar. Aside from the work where the Jamaat did not have the relevant professionals, everything else was completed by these contractors and the volunteer workers. Worldly contractors can never conceive this fact. However, these workers had no concern for their own income or time. The Lajna also helped by providing food for the volunteer workers and participated in the scheme by offering financial sacrifices, thereby becoming a part of this project. I have been informed that the volunteers spent approximately 41,500 hours in the construction of the mosque. People here did not think that 8 hours of work needs to be completed in 5 days. In my opinion, some people would have worked for hours on end, all 7 days, working day and night. They would not have bound themselves by any time constraints. By the grace of Allah, this enthusiasm and passion is witnessed among all Ahmadis everywhere, as I mentioned earlier. On the one hand, some Muslims are bent upon spreading violence and chaos in the world. On the other hand, Ahmadi Muslims residing in a different part of the world, which is developed and advanced in worldly terms, are spending their time and wealth for the construction of the house of God. The reason for this is that God Almighty has said, "Whosoever builds a house of God shall have a house constructed for him in paradise." Also, the Imam of the age, an ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said to his followers that in order to spread the beautiful teachings of Islam throughout the world, one must construct mosques to radiate its authentic and beautiful message. Thus, aside from gaining the pleasure of God Almighty, another reason for sacrifice in constructing mosques is to dispel the erroneous views and remove misunderstandings in the minds of people about Islam. And to demonstrate to the world that the mosques of the Muslims and Islamic teachings are not the cause of the disorder in the world. Rather, it is the savior for the world and the hereafter. It is the cause of embedding the love of God Almighty in the hearts of people and for them to fulfill His due rights, as well as the reason for the love of God's creation and fulfilling their rights. The construction of this mosque has given a unique honor to the Canada Jamaat, in that Ahmadi volunteers completed most of the work, thereby saving Jamaat's money. In other parts of the world, work is also carried out like this. However, it is the first time that it has been carried out in this manner. For all those people who made sacrifices for this project, whether they are financial or sacrifice of time, be they men or women who have given large amounts or promised to give, may Allah reward them and bless their wealth and their lives abundantly. Always bear in mind that a mosque is vital for both our moral training and for spreading the message. For this reason, I told Amir Sahib to build smaller mosques and try to build a mosque in every Jamaat. He has informed me that this indeed is the plan, and it is now their intention to make smaller mosques, but in a greater number. However, I would like to point out, although we intend to construct smaller mosques, we do not have the resources to construct mosques everywhere quickly. Therefore, this practice of using volunteers and voluntary assistance for the construction of mosques is a good system. This tradition should be maintained, and wherever possible, money should be saved. Whilst explaining the importance of constructing mosques, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, once stated, "At this time, our Jamaat is in great need of mosques, which is the house of God. In whichever town or village we establish a mosque, you may assume that the foundation for the progress of the Jamaat have been laid. In a town or village where a few Muslims reside, or there are no Muslims at all, if one wishes to see Islam flourish there, they should build a mosque. In that instant, God Almighty will Himself draw Muslims towards it. However, the condition is that the condition stipulated by the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, must be followed." He states, "The only condition is that the reason behind establishing the mosque should be sincere. The stipulation for constructing a mosque is piety and virtuousness. It should be constructed solely for the sake of God Almighty and not for any vested interest or personal gain. And if there is no malicious intent, only then will God Almighty bless it. Thus, we should make an effort in order to fulfill the desire of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam. However, we must also be mindful of the condition which the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has mentioned along with this. That is, to show sincerity and not simply a display of momentary passion and enthusiasm for having built a beautiful mosque. Rather, it is important to fulfill the true objectives of the mosque. A mosque should not be built for the purpose of seeking recognition and fame, nor is it built for people to display their level of financial sacrifices, or to show the number of hours they devoted in its cause, and neither is it built for the purpose to compete with one another. In fact, mosques should be built purely for the sake of Allah. As I mentioned earlier, that the three brothers and also the fourth contractor who joined them played a significant role in the construction of the mosque. When they met me yesterday, they were very happy that Allah the Almighty had granted them the opportunity to partake in this good deed. Now Allah the Almighty has blessed them with some very big contracts. Thus, God Almighty does not leave anyone without granting them reward. However, at times He grants the reward immediately, and on other occasions after a period of time. In fact, one of the brothers, Mansoor Sahib, wrote to me that a young man who was initially working with them, but was accepted into university, and so declined to work further. However, he had a dream in which he was told that the contractors needed his services, and so he got in contact and began working again. One day, his wife told him that there was no money left to cover the household expenses. However, Allah the Almighty rewarded him in such a way that on the same day, or perhaps the next day, the tax credit department told him that he had overpaid, therefore they were returning him the overpaid amount. Also, he received his money for child benefit, and in this way, he received around $13,000 to $14,000. Thus, God Almighty indeed shows His favors, providing that one has a pious intention. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, there are many people in Africa who build huge mosques and then offer them to the Jamaat. I remember when I was in Ghana, I stayed in a city called Tamale for a short period. We had a small mosque there, which was made from mud blocks and was plastered from the inside and out in order to strengthen it. After being appointed as the Khalifa, when I visited Ghana, I also visited Tamale and saw that there was a huge two-story mosque, which is approximately three times the size of your mosque here. And there are also offices adjacent to it. I was informed that one of our Ahmadis paid for the entire cost of its construction. I do know that this was not easy for him, and it took him 3 to 4 years to complete the payment. But he said that he wanted to do this, and eventually he did so. As I mentioned earlier, that Ahmadis with such nature are to be found everywhere. People tend to assume that due to poverty, perhaps the people of Africa may have a greed for wealth. However, when they enjoin a position of affluence, they set such high standards of sacrifices, the likes of which have seldom been seen. We find such natured people everywhere who offer sacrifices when it comes to building the house of God Almighty. In Pakistan, we are not allowed to build mosques, and at times people write to me with great anguish, asking me to pray that may they be able to build mosques. They say even if they could acquire a hall where they can come together and offer their prayers, since the law of the country does not permit them to build a mosque. They cannot even build a simple mihrab, where the imam stands to lead the congregational prayer, by extending it in the form of a small chamber, let alone build a minaret or a dome. In fact, in some places the restrictions are so severe that they cannot even construct a building which is facing towards the direction of the Qibla, the house of Allah in Mecca. However, Allah the Almighty is bestowing His favors upon us in the countries around the world, and these favors of His are well beyond our imaginations and efforts, and He is granting us the opportunity to construct mosques. After witnessing the grace of Allah the Almighty, we are filled with the emotions of gratitude. Today, those living here should also strive to excel in expressing their gratitude to God Almighty, since God Almighty has granted them a mosque, a house which is the house of God, and for the purpose of worshipping God, who is one. Indeed, this is the house of God. But God has not made this for His benefit. Rather, it benefits those who come to the mosque. Thus, it is a great favor of God Almighty, and no matter how thankful we are, it can never be enough. The manner in which one should express one's gratitude upon the construction of a mosque has been taught to us by God Almighty in the verse of the Holy Quran, which I recited before you. God Almighty states, the translation of it is, He alone can maintain the mosques of Allah who believes in Allah and the last day and observes prayer and pays the zakat and fears none but Allah. So these it is who may be rightly guided. Thus, belief in God Almighty and the Last Day, which is the basic condition for a believer and a Muslim, is fundamental. After that, Allah the Almighty states that the observance of prayer is essential. What is the observance of prayer? It is to come and offer the 5 daily prayers in congregation at its prescribed times. The meaning of observing prayer is to offer the prayer in congregation. Then one has to pay the zakat. What is the zakat? It is to spend your wealth in the way of God Almighty in order to purify it. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, the Ahmadis are excelling in this form of sacrifice. However, Indolence is observed generally everywhere when it comes to attending the prayers and offering it in congregation, even though this is a basic requirement, and so attention needs to be paid towards this. I would also add here in regards to zakat that one form of zakat is that which has been made compulsory upon all those who have wealth and their money is deposited in banks or is kept with them. Or if it is a large amount in the form of gold or silver and remains with them for a whole year. Zakat is also compulsory upon some landowners and those who own large dairy farms. In any case, this form of zakat applies to everyone, men and women alike, and it is according to a fixed rate which has been specified by the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. In relation to the subject of zakat, I would like to draw the attention of women in particular. After coming here, and with the improvement of their circumstances, they acquire a lot of gold in the form of jewelry. I have seen women, old and young alike, who are wearing very heavy gold bangles and bracelets. Indeed, they can wear it, as it is a means of adornment, and God Almighty has permitted them. However, it is also compulsory to pay zakat on them. Then, any kind of chanda, monetary sacrifice, which is offered for the propagation of God Almighty's faith and its related works and for serving mankind, falls under zakat and the purification of one's wealth. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, at this moment in time, it is only the Ahmadiyya Muslim community which is spending money for the propagation of faith, the construction of mosques, missionary activities, schools and hospitals. Then, after zakat, Allah the Almighty instructs that you should not fear anyone but Him. If one has the fear of God Almighty, only then can one refrain from many of the ills which exist in these countries in the name of freedom. One must remember that it is extremely vital to develop the fear of God in one's heart, and the fear of God is in fact taqwa, i.e. righteousness. There are countless verses of the Holy Quran regarding taqwa, in which we have been given various commandments. If one adheres to them, then one can consider oneself to be counted amongst the rightly guided in the eyes of God, and will also be able to fulfill the objectives of establishing a mosque. It is such practices and being firmly established on faith which will then in turn enable one to fulfill the objectives of building a mosque and also make one grateful to Allah the Almighty. If one is only content with having built a mosque but only occasionally comes for prayer and instead of fearing God, he fears other people more, and forgets faith and his duties towards it, then such a person may well be able to gain temporary reward, but will distance himself away from gaining the everlasting blessings of God Almighty. Thus, God Almighty states that the mosques can only truly be filled by those who are strong in their faith as well as their beliefs and continue to excel in their practices as well. The responsibility of filling and populating the mosques lies firstly with the office bearers of the Jamaat and its auxiliary organizations by ensuring their own attendance. All the office bearers and every Ahmadi should make an effort to gain the lasting rewards of the sacrifices which the Jamaat has made, both financial sacrifice and the sacrifice of their time. This can be achieved by proving that the size of this mosque is inadequate, despite presently being 3 times the size of the local community. However, mosques can only be rendered inadequate in terms of size when the number of those attending the prayers increases, as does the size of the local community increasing. In order to increase the Jamaat in number, tabligh, i.e. spreading the message, is very important. Rather, it is essential. Upon the construction of this mosque, we must be thankful to Allah the Almighty in this manner that the true message of Islam and Ahmadiyyat is relayed to all the inhabitants of the area. Alongside this, you must pay gratitude to Allah the Almighty. It is also a means for discharging the rights of the people, as it is their right that we convey the true message of Islam to them and bring them out of vulgarity and immorality. It is our duty to make the world realize its true creator. These days, a majority of the world thinks that worldly success and its lavishness means everything and become embroiled within it. However, they do not realize that behind this temporary splendor lies a black hole in which they will be encompassed. At such a time, it is the duty of the Jamaat members to show the world such avenues which lead to a glistening end. We must inform them that the glamour of this world is merely temporary. The true light is for the one whose end is radiant, and it is only attained when discharging the rights of Allah the Almighty. It is by worshipping Him, and is achieved by worshipping Him selflessly. This can only be achieved when we have more concern for the afterlife rather than this world. We can only explain this to the world after we analyze ourselves, and only when we are concerned about our end can we show them the light ahead. In that case, we will not be those who merely raise the slogans of love and affection. Rather, we shall become of those who endeavor to fulfill each other's rights. We will be increasing the standards of our worship. Through our words and actions, we shall be working towards attaining the love of Allah the Almighty, and where our fountains of love and affection for Allah will be simmering, our fountains of love and affection for Allah's creation will also begin to simmer. Those people who see us from afar approach us when they hear our slogans. They are impressed by the beautiful teachings of Islam when listening to us. It should not be the case that when they draw close, they say that from afar you appear different, and now upon drawing close, you are something else. In order to attain the paradise of the hereafter, we should strive to make this world a paradise through our worship and through our actions. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said that when you pass through the gardens of paradise, then eat and drink from there. Hazrat Abu Huraira, peace be upon him, was also sitting in that gathering. Many narrations have been related from him. He states that upon hearing this, I inquired, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what are the gardens of paradise? Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that mosques are the gardens of paradise. He then inquired, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, what is meant by eating and drinking in paradise? The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, answered, to remember Allah, to do tasbih, reciting Subhanallah or Holy is Allah, to do tahmid, which is to say Alhamdulillah or glorify and praise Allah, to say there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and to say Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. To say and recite this is the food and drink of paradise. Hence, alongside prayers, to sit in the mosque, praising and glorifying Allah the Almighty, is to eat of the fruits of paradise in this world. And whomsoever remembers and worships Allah the Almighty in this manner, he is not only witnessing the paradise of the hereafter, rather, he endeavors to fulfill the rights of the creation by treading upon the commandments of Allah the Almighty, who then further tries to conform his actions in accordance to the command of Allah the Almighty. How fortunate are those people who enjoy the fruits of the paradise in this world themselves and enable others to eat from it, and will be amongst those who will be the recipients of the pleasure of God Almighty in the next world. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, amongst all the commandments of the Holy Quran, the commandments pertaining to righteousness and piety is stressed the most. This is because righteousness provides the power to desist all kinds of evil and motivates one to swiftly strive on the path of goodness. The reason behind placing such emphasis upon righteousness is that righteousness is the key to survival of a person in every aspect. Taqwa, i.e. righteousness, is the protective citadel that saves one from all kinds of mischiefs and strife. This means that righteousness and fearing God Almighty is the fortress in which one takes refuge and seeks protection from Satan. The Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, says, a person practicing righteousness can save himself from many unnecessary and dangerous encounters that others fall victim to, which can lead to their destruction. Therefore, everyone must remember that the sacrifices you have made, or are making, and will continue to make, must be fortified with taqwa, i.e. righteousness. If not, then these sacrifices will only be short-lived. As I said before, in order to show our gratitude, it is important to fulfill our responsibility of preaching. However, with the building of the new mosques, many people would see this new edifice. By seeing this mosque, their attention will be focused on you. Their attention will be focused on Ahmadis living here. At that time, if every Ahmadi is found to be adorned with God-fearing righteousness, then this will become a source of guidance for others. So this mosque places a great responsibility on every Ahmadi that resides here. In order to fulfill this responsibility, every Ahmadi will have to become a model Ahmadi. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, members of my community should become exemplary models. Any member of my community who sets a poor example and demonstrates weakness in both his actions and beliefs is a tyrant. The reason for this is that he brings the entire community into disrepute and makes me the target of objections raised by others. People despise displays of misconduct, whilst they are attracted towards models of good conduct. The Prophet Messiah alayhi salam states, "Sometimes people write to me that although I am not part of your community, seeing the conduct of the people of your community makes it evident to me that the teaching of this community is based on piety." Even today, many people write to me, and sometimes they say in personal meetings, that the attitude of the people of the community makes it clear that your teachings are based on peace, security, love, and dedication. Therefore, it is the responsibility of every Ahmadi that they should spread this teaching widely and become the practical role models of these teachings. The Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, then states, "God Almighty keeps a record of the deeds of every individual. Indeed, a diary of all one's deeds is being maintained. Therefore, every individual should take it upon themselves to keep a diary of their daily activities. God Almighty maintains this record. However, every person should do this. Every righteous person should reflect upon his daily activities and write in his daily diary about the good deeds he has carried out during the day and what were his shortcomings." The Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, says that every person should keep a record of their daily activities and then should reflect on them. Simply noting it down is not enough. It is important to reflect and plan your development in further aspects of righteousness. It is important to reflect on how much progress one has made since yesterday. The Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, says that the status of piety of a person today should not equal the level of his piety yesterday. The person whose yesterday and today are equal has made no progress in piety, and consequently is at a loss. Do not merely be happy in the fact that our standard of piety of yesterday is maintained today, but the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, has directed that our level of righteousness today should surpass that of the previous day. If that is not attained, then you must understand that we are not in a place of advantage and we are heading towards a loss. The Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, says that a person who believes in God Almighty and has perfect faith in Him will never face ruin. Instead, for the sake of protecting such an individual, millions of lives are saved. Today, it is the responsibility of Ahmadis to save the world from destruction. However, the prerequisite remains the same, and that is that our progress in piety must be extraordinary. The Prophet Messiah says that for the sake of one such person, millions of lives are saved. Thus, it is a huge responsibility upon every Ahmadi to save the world. It is incumbent upon us to save the world, which is abandoning God. Even if some are better than others with regard to their moral standards, as there are some who say there is no need for us to follow any religion because our morals are far better, it may well be that some of their basic morals are indeed better. Their dealings on a daily basis and their dealings with others may be comparatively good, and they may not be usurping the rights of others, but in other aspects, and in the name of freedom, these people have become morally redundant, and they have the backing of the law. The world has completely forgotten God Almighty. At such a time, if even we, who have entered into the allegiance with the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, forget our values, neglect God Almighty and Islamic morals, and in turn start pursuing this world, who would then undertake the reformation of the world? There is no doubt that Allah the Almighty has vouchsafed to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that such people will always remain, and Allah will provide others. However, we should not let ourselves be deprived of its blessings. Thus, today, it is the duty of every Ahmadi to assess themselves, as per the instructions of the Prophet Messiah, so that we may be able to discharge our responsibilities in the right manner. Do not be content with merely having constructed a mosque alone. Our target should be that we have to increase the number of those who prostrate before Allah the Almighty and gather them under the flag of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This cannot be accomplished until we make firm progress forwards. Unless each and every one of us becomes a role model for our own people as well as for others. We should not cause pain to anyone. In fact, we should fulfill the due rights of our own people as well as fulfilling the rights of others. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says that you should become a source of blessings for your own selves, for your wives and children, for your community and relatives, and for me. You should never provide the opponents with a reason to criticize. Thus, every one of us should feel this pain of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and set such examples that prove to be good reputation of the Jamaat and the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. May God Almighty enable us to do so. Our tomorrow should be better than our today. Our children and our progenies should understand that the sacrifices which their parents offered, their building of mosques, their efforts towards propagating the message, and their admonition to them to give precedence to faith over the world is the true wealth which they left behind for them. Also, the future generations should continue to instill this thinking into their progenies, and may Allah the Almighty enable this to continue forever. May our future generations continue to gather the blessings of Allah the Almighty. May Allah the Almighty ordain for this to happen.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر